If you've listened to the show for any length of time, you know that I'm a big fan of connecting with locals when you're traveling someplace. If you're just going to be inside the tour bus, then you might as well stay home. The best parts of travel for me are when you get out into the marketplace or into the cafe where you meet the locals and have a chance to interact. If you're also looking to experience this, then check out Explore Worldwide, whose local tour leaders will get you off the beaten track and into the heart of the adventure, helping you get past being a tourist, experiencing local culture, and finding places you would not find by yourself. And isn't that what travel is all about? If you're thinking about your next adventure, head to exploreworldwide.com to find out more.
Hey, my name's Otis Gray, host of the Daily Book Club, a daily podcast where I read wonderful old books one chapter at a time. Simple as that. Whether you want to get engaged and lost in a fascinating story that has stood the test of time, or just relax to a good book, listen to the Daily Book Club to get wrapped up or unwind during your day. We'll read classic stories like Pride and Prejudice, The Enchanted April, The Wind in the Willows, beautiful stories all told from start to finish. And you can even do a real book club. Tune into the Daily Book Club Discord and discuss the readings with other book club listeners. However you want to listen, it's your choice. Subscribe to the Daily Book Club on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere else. New episodes every single day. So sit back, relax, and get lost in the Daily Book Club.
This episode of The Amateur Traveler is brought to you by Audible. Please visit audiblepodcast.com/traveler for your free audiobook download. I got my bags packed on a roll. I'm heading out there and I'm ready to go. Looking real good in my passport photo. Oh, no. Amateur Traveler, episode 182. Today, the Amateur Traveler talks about canals, food, and really puts you in touch with Shakespeare as we talk about Venice and the Veneto. Welcome to the Amateur Traveler. I'm your host, Chris Christensen. Before we get into this week's interview, I do have three news stories for you. The first one, if you've ever been to Four Corners, that part of the United States where you can put a hand or a foot in four different states at the same time, if you've ever had your picture taken there, not so much. It turns out that a new survey has discovered that the spot you are at is 2.5 miles away from where it should be. And then in airline news, United is one of several airlines that has quietly raised their change fees. Theirs have gone up to $150 a ticket. And I've also run into this week Hawaiian with change fees of up to $200 a ticket when you change them. And that was each way. So double check before you book what the change fees are for your particular airline, because that could cause some problems later on. And the other thing that United did this week is they are clarifying their policy that if you are overweight, you will have to buy a second seat. They're not going to pay the cost of that extra space you may have to take up, and they don't want that passenger next to you to pay the cost either. This is kind of a bad week to be overweight, as some stories also came out that being obese contributes to global warming. For links to those and other stories, check out the show notes at amateurtraveler.com. Before we get into this week's interview, I want to thank our sponsor, which is Audible.com. Audible.com is the internet's leading provider in spoken audio entertainment with over 50,000 titles to choose from. You can sign up for a free trial today and get your free downloadable audiobook by going to audiblepodcast.com/traveler. Audible has some free selections like the first chapter of John Grisham's new book, The Appeal, which I was checking out this week. Get your free book again at audiblepodcast.com/traveler. I'd like to welcome to the show Ira Bernstein from Dallas, who's come to talk to us about Venice and the surrounding area. Ira, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you. I'm happy to be on it. Longtime listener.
Well, that's always fun because, for one thing, you know the way this works. So I said Venice and the surrounding area because I wasn't going to jump right into, what do we call that whole area?
Okay, it's Veneto, and it's a region which corresponds in America to a state.
Okay.
So Tuscany is a region, Piemonte is a region, the Veneto is a region.
And when we say it corresponds to a state, in our size scale, more like the state of Rhode Island than the state of Texas,
well,
in terms of size.
Probably bigger, well, in between the two, yeah.
Okay. And you have been going to Venice a couple times here.
We debate whether it's now going to be 16 or 17. We started about 1994 when I went to a conference in Padua and then went to Venice, which is two train stops away.
And you actually knew the countdown till your next trip. So this is an annual event at this point.
Yeah, it's 5 weeks from today. But who's counting?
Now, there are many other nice places to go in the world. Why do you keep going back to Venice?
Well, one thing, it's not like taking a trip anymore. Because we have friends that we see, actually two different groups. One we see in the Milan-Turin area, which is up north near the Lake District. And the other we see in Florence. It's almost like it would be an insult not to see our friends.
Okay. But while you're there, you spend some time in this fabled city of canals and the surrounding area. So let's talk about the two areas separately. First, a little bit about Venice, because I think most people have some desire, or at least many people have some desire to see Venice, but don't know what they're missing in the surrounding areas. So the draw of Venice, obviously, the canals, St. Mark's Square. What should we do when we're in Venice? What should we see?
Well, the one thing I would say would be, although you certainly do want to go to St. Mark's Square, and if you've never been there, let me emphasize, by all means, go to Venice. We don't stay in Venice anymore when we visit that area. We love Padua. We have a favorite hotel there, and we stay in Padua, generally make a day trip to Venice, but that's our idiosyncrasy. In Venice itself, I think the thing that you want to keep in mind is that there's much, much more to Venice than St. Mark's Square, as captivating as it is. People will have different interests and things, so I'm going to be a little bit idiosyncratic.
Okay.
One place we always go to, and I would recommend this for anybody, whether or not they're Jewish like we are, and that is the ghetto. Very interesting historic spot. Wonderful, wonderful tour.
And what part of Venice is that in?
Okay. Venice is divided into six areas called Sesterci, which is the sixth version of a quadrant. It's in the area known as Canareggio, which was an old foundry district until the 15th century. Actually, to get there, basically you're there is if you get off the train at Santa Lucia station.
Okay.
Get off, and by the way, it is really, really a shattering, earth-shaking, wonderful experience. If you come in by train, as a lot of people will,
right,
get off the train, walk right outside, and you're facing the Grand Canal. Since she's not here to defend herself, our daughter really got emotionally shook up, saying, my God, this is just like it is in every picture you've ever seen. And you haven't done much more than walk down a flight of stairs and look straight ahead. Okay, you're on a street called Lista di Spagna.
Okay.
And if you turn left along this street, actually, you'll pass some hotels. Some are very nice. The Principe was a hotel we stayed in the first time we went. But you keep on going and cross over a very small canal, go over a bridge, turn left, and you'll see a kosher restaurant. And that's the entrance to the ghetto. Now, if you're a bad speller, you will love Venice. The reason being that Venetian dialect allows things to be spelled pretty much the way our ancestors did, namely any way you want to. As you see the ghetto, you'll see it spelled with one T at some places, two T's at another, and sometimes facing one another. Along the way, unfortunately, you run into all too many of the downside of Venice, which are the tourist shops, but some of them have some nice stuff, and if you're not planning to take a trip to Murano for glass, if you're selective, it's some nice things. But the point is, you go across this small tributary, go left, and then go right into the ghetto itself. And it's a historically important, actually pair of areas. You have the new ghetto and the old ghetto, but understand new and old are really relative terms. And the new ghetto is actually older than the old ghetto. Go figure that one out.
Now, you were on a street listed as España. Was this ghetto formed from Jews who were expelled from Spain?
A lot of them were, yes. Okay. And in fact, we have a friend who owns a glass shop who has his store in the ghetto, a David shop, very nice guy, runs it with his sister. They were saying they were of Spanish extraction.
Okay.
And they had only lived there like 400 years. They're kind of newcomers. Their family.
Just in passing there, we mentioned if you don't get out to Murano, why would one go out there?
Well, it is kind of fun. You can go out to one of the glass-blowing plants. They got to be very careful because a lot of the trips you get are sponsored by hucksters who will push you into their shop, which won't be necessarily the best one. And sometimes you're better off spending a little bit of money and paying for the vaporetto route, the vaporetto of the water taxis, vaporetti of the water taxis, get it plural. But you go there, and it is an interesting experience, and you probably will want to get at least some small token to bring home, like a glass or something like that. Or if you want to get something larger, if there's anything in the world they know how to do, it's to ship things without breaking them.
And one thing we found when we went there is if you do get one of these sponsored trips, what our trip was, it was sponsored to there, not back.
Right.
So on the way back, we were finding either a vaporetti or we were finding the water bus. I'm trying to think. The name is escaping me for the moment.
No, the vaporetto is water bus. It's a large boat. It'll hold large numbers of people. And it's one of the routes they have is to Murano. By the way, there's also a lace island called Burano, which we've not been to, but if you like lace, you can go there too. It's another route.
Okay. So we're in a city here in a swamp built on stilts.
Yep.
I don't know if everybody realizes that if you look under a building in Venice, you find lots and lots of pylons. What else stands out for Venice? I mean, Venice is an interesting and unique city. What stands out for that city for you before we leave it?
The art, Venetian art, has a very, very distinctive quality to it. I'm hardly an expert on art, so I'm just reciting what I've read and what I've been able to catch by seeing. For example, one of Venice's outstanding painters was named Tintoretto. Venetian painting is marked by its beautiful use of color, as opposed to the Florentine school, which is the skill was mainly graphic.
You mentioned that you don't stay on Venice. One thing we should say to people is that, and we stayed on Venice when we were there. We stayed on the island, but we stayed in the city. But it can be a very expensive city to stay. I think we were one bridge away from St. Mark's Square, and St. Mark's Square, where the St. Mark's Cathedral is, with all the stolen relics from Alexandria. And I believe our hotel was $400 a night with the shower and the toilet sharing the same physical space and not a particularly large room. And this was probably more than 10 years ago. So not an inexpensive city if you're staying, especially any place close to where the tourists are staying.
Yeah, there's some nice places, as I say, in Cannaregio near the train station. You have to be fairly careful, but those were much less. Now, again, we haven't stayed there in 15 years, but 15 years ago, we didn't spend nearly what you had to spend. And St. Mark's Square is really fierce. Another problem, by the way, is if you go during the summer, which is the only time a lot of people can go, it will smell the city.
Right.
And by the way, we can talk more about where to stay if you don't stay in Venice. And again, let me emphasize, if you've never been there before and you can pony up the bucks, stay there so you can see Venice at night and do things that you can't see when you're commuting out. Although the trains run fairly late. A very popular spot is Maestri, which is the first train stop out of Venice. In fact, it's now called Venice Maestri. They're kind of capitalizing on it as opposed to the main train stop, which is Venice Santa Lucia. But again, we can talk about where else to stay besides Maestri. Maestri doesn't have that much to offer. Venice does, but you're going to pay for it.
And the other thing I was thinking of that I was trying to say earlier is there's the Vaporetti, which is the kind of the water bus, and then there are also water taxis, which are motorboats, which are an individual, you just go where you're trying to go, which are much more expensive. And I believe you'll often be told as you get off the train there, especially if you're new, no, you can't get there on the water bus. You need to take the water taxi. That's not necessarily true.
Yeah.
So know your route before you go.
If your retirement was not invested with Bernie Madoff, you can also get a gondola, which is a very famous sight. The first time we went there, I had been married 35 years. We're now closing in on 50. So the gondolas, like, we haven't really done that bit.
We did the gondola and we enjoyed it. And the one thing for people who are trying to do it more inexpensively, there are also a much shorter gondola ride that's used just as a ferry across the Grand Canal.
Exactly, exactly, where by tradition you stand.
Right. And that's something that's much less expensive, but it's not the same thing as going through all of the back canals in Venice, which is a wonderful experience, a wonderful, especially as a photographer.
Yes.
So now, getting out of Venice, a lot of the people who work in Venice don't even live in Venice anymore.
Yeah, I think the majority of them do because it's very difficult to afford. It's like so many cities where you have some very low-end housing and very high-end housing without much in the middle.
Right.
Let me mention an area. It's an area that I've just seen very briefly. But to get a sight of Venice that's not tourist, besides the Sestieri of Cannareggio, look for the one that's right next to San Marco, which is called Dorso d'Oro, which means hardback. And that's kind of a native living area with food that you'll find that's not the commercial stuff. And again, much as I'll talk positively about Venice, I'm not going to talk that positively about the food there. It's much better off the island.
Okay. That being said, I don't know we found a bad meal in Venice when we were there. I think we had one meal that was right next to the Vatican when we were in Rome that was clearly a tourist restaurant, but I didn't find it hard to find a good meal. Now, a better meal is a different discussion, probably. So what are we missing if we just go to Venice?
Well, there are some wonderful and historic sites. Our favorite place by a long, long shot is the city of Padua. Now, again, this is in part my idiosyncrasy because I've been a university professor all of my working life, and it is the second oldest university in Italy at Padua, and it has the best tour. The oldest one, oddly enough, Bologna, I don't even think has an organized tour, and it's very spread out, but you can see the main campus or the old campus at the Piazza del Bo in Padua. And if you do go there, whether a day trip or if you stay there like we do, have your hotel arrange a visit to the university at the Piazza del Bo.
Anything else in Padua that stands out?
Oh, yeah. It is very famous for its Scrivini Chapel. Want to give at least equal time to church art. That's a little bit tougher to get a tour of. The Basilica of St. Anthony, being very ecumenical, where you can buy St. Anthony medals, which are supposedly guaranteed to help you to find things. And my wife bought one for herself, and I pointed out it may be less than effective with us, and I think she lost it. But we brought those back as gifts for our friends. The people who sell them don't really ask you anything about your religious affiliation when you buy them.
I'm sure they are very ecumenical in there.
Yeah. And the food there is magnificent. We have a favorite restaurant called the Vecchia Padua, the old Padua. We'll eat most of our meals there when we're staying there, except I think it's Monday night they're closed, and there's a restaurant across the street from our hotel. We've been in debate. I think it's the Ariston. My wife doesn't agree. But we stay at a hotel called the Igea. And to make you eat your heart out, last time we were there, which was 3 years ago, the three of us spent like under $100 a night. Cheapest hotel we have in Italy, and very nice, a little bit Spartan, but nice, ample room, and the people there are lovely.
Now, you mentioned food and restaurants. We're in northern Italy.
Yeah.
especially for those of us who are listening from the U.S., a lot of the Italian food that we get here is Southern Italian food.
Well, a lot of it isn't even Italian.
Or Sicilian, but, yeah.
It's not even Sicilian. Oh, no. I would never insult Sicily by saying that it's Sicily is not part of Italy, although a Sicilian would probably claim it. No, I mean, there are an incredible number of things that are very good. I enjoy very much. They happen not to be found in Italy. Like, for example, my favorite being, if you ask for a pepperoni in Italy, pepperoni spelled without the double P means large pepper. You don't
right.
get the sausage-like affair. And I could go through sauce Alfredo, ain't Italian.
Well, now that one was invented in Rome.
I think it was invented by a Roman, but not in Rome. I think it may be under debate.
Well,
you don't find it.
Alfredo had two restaurants, last I knew. One was in Rome, and one was in Epcot.
Yeah.
Although I think they've closed that one. I think they've replaced that with something else, as I recall from our show that we did on Epcot. But
let me just make a couple of generic comments, if I could, about Italian cooking. Number one, Italians are magnificent when it comes to your mangling their language. I can speak a little bit of Italian. I try not to speak to Italians in a way that makes it look like I can speak Italian, but they're very, very forgiving. It's hard for most Americans to roll their R's, but whatever you do, if you're an Italian restaurant, do not ask for cheese on a fish dish. They will come after you with a vengeance. I've seen that happen. Okay, do not make anything that's considered disparaging. They are proud of their cooking. Language they'll tolerate, cooking they won't. The restaurant we saw, we told a friend of ours that the near bloodshed that occurred, they made the mistake of doing the same thing. And as we say in science, some phenomena do replicate. Oh, yeah. Also, if you're going to Italy, please learn the food of the region you're going to. Do not, for example, if you're in Venice, ask for a cannoli. A cannoli is a Sicilian dish, very delicious, but not Venetian. Tiramisu, that's Venetian. Oh, excuse me. I wanted to mention, before we leave Padua, part of the trip will be to the medical school, which had the first autopsy site. Mm-hmm. They're not going to put one on for you, but
That's all right. Interesting transition
nice.
From food to autopsy, yeah. But okay.
Yeah. Well, that's the beauty of editing. You can see Galileo's lectern. I was there with a group of maybe 15 of my colleagues, and the same thought went through our mind when it was pointed out to us, and our host quickly said, "I'm sorry, we will not let you deliver a lecture from there." Galileo got his weight in gold for coming to the University of Padua from Pisa. According to one story, he'd even been denied tenure at Pisa. But he was given this offer he couldn't refuse. And until he had an affair of the heart that took him into Florence, where he ran into all sorts of trouble, he always said the best years of his life were in Venice, although he was Florentine and wouldn't marry the mother of his children because she wasn't. But see all the commemorative plaques they've got. The tour from the Piazza del Bo is simply unbelievable. It's as good as any tour we've had in Venice, matching the ghetto tour in terms of importance to us.
Are there other cities that we want to hit in the region besides Padua?
One that you're much less likely to have heard of, but that's a lot of fun. And it's about an hour north of both Padua and Venice. Padua is almost, it's about 20, 40 minutes, depending on the train you get, pretty much due west. But if you go north, you come to the town of Bassano del Grappa. Now, if you don't know what Grappa is, a taste should be a part of your tour. I actually like classic Grappa, and I'm not remotely Italian. To most other people, it's a taste cultivated like drinking gasoline. But actually, there are all sorts of types of grappa, some of which are like sweet liqueurs. There's a blueberry grappa that my wife likes, and she's not a drinker at all. But Bassano del Grappa, you go up there, It was originally Bassano for many years, and the Chamber of Commerce added the Del Grappa. It's near Monte Grappa, which was the site of a very famous battle. There's a beautiful bridge, the Ponte degli Alpini, the Alpine Bridge, which is just beautiful. And it's conveniently located right next to the Grappa distillery, which, yes, this is Italy. You do get free samples.
If I go to the Veneto, what's the biggest surprise that I'll run into? I think I know Italy. What's going to surprise me?
Well, that probably everything that you've ever read about Venice is true. So many places you go to and everything is inflated in terms of how good it is. But Venice is really a magnificently visual city.
Mm-hmm. I had the impression that if you drugged me, knocked me out, put me in a sack, and I woke up in Venice, it wouldn't take me any time at all to figure out where I was.
Yeah, that is correct. Oh, by the way, let me add one more city before we get into another topic, and that is Verona.
Ah, okay.
Verona is a little bit further west. We were only there for a day a couple of years ago. It's got a beautiful arena, which is actually much more intact version of the Colosseum in Rome.
Mm-hmm.
And they still stage events there routinely.
Gladiatorial combats, you mean? Killing Christians, that sort of thing?
Actually, I think more Shakespeare.
Ah, okay. Right.
Nowadays, a little bit tamer. No, we do the executions here in Texas. So.
I thought most of the taming happened in Padua.
Yeah, the shrew got tamed in Padua, definitely. Shakespeare, who is it? John Grisham, who's been doing the books lately on trips in Italy so he can write off his trips playing for pizza. Well, Shakespeare, I think, did the same thing. What was it? Three gentlemen from Verona? Two gentlemen. I added one.
Well, inflation. It's been a
little
while.
Inflation. But he knew the area apparently fairly well. The Piazza del Erbe is a kind of fun spot. You just kind of hang around and people watch. There's an old bridge in the river, and we were just watching people in kayaks practicing for the Olympics and having a lot of fun doing it. So that's another site. Oh, Vicenza we've not been to, and someday we will, but it's famous for its architecture.
Okay.
So there's a lot to see in the area, and I think the message is, don't just stay in Venice, as wonderful and tempting as it is.
And as long as we're doing Shakespeare, also Merchant of Venice, of course.
And of course.
What
of
news
course.
Upon the Rialto? The Rialto, the first bridge across the Grand Canal. So,
by the way, speaking of bridges, don't forget the Bridge of Sighs.
Oh, sure. Mm-hmm.
If you're at St. Mark's Square, it's right there.
Well, and do you want to tell people what the Bridge of Sighs is?
Ah, yes. This was the last sight that people who were sentenced to jail would have, and they would supposedly sigh about the thought that they'd not have their freedom anymore. They might have been sighing that they wouldn't have to pay the high hotel rates, but it's where the prisoners were led away. I don't think all of them were condemned. I think they were.
Right. It may have been minor crimes. Yeah, exactly.
Various crimes.
But basically, between the courthouse, the center of the civic life in Venice, which is right there next to St. Mark's Square, and then the jail, which is just across one of the many canals. In fact, that's across the canal where we stayed, actually, on the same island as that jail.
Mm-hmm. But yep.
The first time you went to Venice, or to that region, and I don't know if you can remember that far back, what do you wish you had known? What do you tell your friends that no one told you before you went there?
That's a tough one. We did not see enough of the variety of Venice. Previously, I mentioned seeing Dorso d'Oro, which we've still not seen, but Rudy Maxa on his show really made it look very appealing. We made, I think, the fairly typical mistake of concentrating on just a few of the tourist sites. Later on, we did the better thing of simply wandering around and getting lost.
Getting lost, yes.
Yeah.
I highly recommend getting lost in Venice, and fortunately it's easy to do, so.
Yeah, doesn't take any. Oh, excuse me. Let me mention one more thing, and this is going to take some editing. When we go back to Verona, I have to mention Romeo and Juliet's from there. Again, Shakespeare knew how to get a good tax write-off. You have to see the phony balcony. And it's about as tacky as you can get. You will see the balcony, which dates all the way back to the 1920s. And I think they're starting to make it more publicly open. But you can then go downstairs, and if you're into such things, excuse me for mentioning this, you get to rub Juliet's breast. And you can see which breast to rub, because
one is shiny and one is not.
One is very shiny. And, I mean, if you're into shining metal breasts, you can go at it and not have any problems.
And I'm going to guess this brings you good luck?
Yeah, it brings you good luck. And good luck in Italy is defined as getting back and spending some more money next year.
Oh, okay. So this is like throwing a coin in the Trevi Fountain in Rome here.
Yeah, every place has got someplace you can donate an Italian coin, because, I mean, what the heck, an Italian coin? I mean, how much is it worth? Some of them actually float, by the way, I heard.
I have not heard that.
They had an old 1 lira coin, which was worth some infinitesimal fraction of a penny, and apparently it floated. I never saw one, so I can't vouch for it.
As we go to start to wind this down, what's the best day you had in Venice or in the region?
Oh, I'm going to be very tacky and simply say any day I had in the region or Venice. Probably the single best things would either be the trip to the ghetto. Not that I'm into masochism that much, but for its history. I love to know about history and always find paradoxes interesting, because it was Napoleon who threw down the gates to the ghetto, and that doesn't make him very popular there. They thought he was an interloper.
Mm-hmm.
Or the trip to the university in Padua. That was magnificent.
Okay. You really know you're in Venice when what?
When you step outside of the train station. That was easy. Oh, let me mention one other thing about food. Be very careful when you read American reviews about Italian restaurants. Please approach Italian food the way an Italian would. I mean, the very simple thing is, we're used to seeing ads for pizza places that have 19 toppings. You go to an Italian pizza restaurant, at most you'll have one, and in some places you won't even have that. You'll have the margherita or the marinara, which really has no topping other than the sauce, or in case of the margherita, the cheese. That place was recommended, not in Venice, but it had gotten all sorts of fabulous reviews, and it was every American's image of an Italian restaurant. But it wasn't any Italian's view of an Italian restaurant.
Interesting. Yeah, I think when we get to Italy, probably the fanciest our pizza gets is quattro formaggi, or the four cheese pizza.
See? That's good.
Yep.
And always the right amount of sauce on anything you get, whether it's the pasta or the pizza. Mm-hmm. That's another critical feature. But the most important is, anywhere you go, it's fresh ingredients. That's why the food is regional.
Right, exactly. As we go to wrap this up, if you had to summarize Venice and the surrounding area in three words, what three words would you use?
Well, if I can elide magnificent and scenery, elide magnificent and food for the region, not for Venice itself, and variety.
Okay. Ira, thanks so much for coming on the show and sharing your love for Venice and the Veneto.
And I can do a lot of other places, so sometime in the future, perhaps next year in Bologna.
Thank you very much. I did have one correction after talking to my wife. It turns out that 10 years ago or so, when we were in Venice, we only paid $300 a night for a hotel room. But again, those prices have probably gone up. I do have one internet resource for you this week, and that is something if you're traveling in the U.S. and Canada and you're not sure that you trust the front desk to give you a wake-up call, you can use a site called wakerupper.com, and I'll put a link to that in the show notes in case you're wondering how to spell it. But basically, it lets you send yourself simple telephone reminders, and so you can make a wake-up call or send yourself a reminder of taking medication or whatever it is you need to do. Escape from a boring meeting, they also suggest. wakerupper.com. In news of the community, I wanted to send a thank you out there to Cameron, who is the producer, co-host, and writer of the Roadshow magazine and podcast, who wrote me and said, just wanted to let you know I have been really enjoying your podcast. As a motorcycle travel writer slash podcaster, I have found yours to be among the best. Just to let you know, we mentioned your podcast to our listeners on the latest episode of Roadshow Motorcycle Podcast and put a link in the show notes. Keep up the good work. Cameron, thank you very much. I appreciate both the encouragement and the support. I also got an email a while back from Edie from Seattle, who wrote, "Hi, Chris. I wanted to let you know that I think your travel podcast is the best on the internet. I have listened to all your programs in the archives and enjoy your interviews with so many interesting people and places. My husband and I love to travel and receive wonderful tips and ideas from your podcasts. I appreciate the kind and gracious way you interview people and look forward to downloading each new episode. I have told many friends and family members about your podcast. Thank you and God bless. Edie from Seattle." Edie, thank you very much. I'm always amazed, first of all, when people have listened to every show of the archives. And I'm glad that you're enjoying the show. I think the secret to gracious interviewing is all I need to do is continue to invite on such really wonderful people who are just a joy to talk to, as was this week's guest, as are so many. And thank you very much for telling your friends about the show. Other people, if you're interested in telling friends, if you don't have enough friends to tell like Edie does, then you might try leaving a review on iTunes. That's actually a terrific way that a lot of people discover the show, and that really helps out. With that, we'll end this episode of The Amateur Traveler. I've got a trip to take this weekend to Phoenix and Tucson, so I want to get this one in the can. If you have a question or comment, feel free to go to amateurtraveler.com or drop me an email at host@amateurtraveler.com. And as always, thanks so much for listening. I got to see one more cathedral. I got to sit in one more cafe.